Please open your Bibles, if you haven't already, to Proverbs chapter 9, or just leave them open from the scripture reading where we were in Proverbs 8. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 9 today. We're in between series. We had a sermon series at the first part of 1 Samuel, and now we're going to soon go back to the second half of Romans. Remember, a few months ago, we did the first half of Romans. We're going to be going back to it, but I wanted to take a chance to just look at a different section of the Bible, and it's something that we need today. It's about wisdom. So let me pray, and then we'll talk about wisdom together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and that it's true, and we thank you that your wisdom calls out to us, and I pray that we would hear her voice today and respond to her well. Help us to respond to wisdom and walk in her paths today. We ask for your help in that, and we thank you that you can help us today. I pray that your spirit would help us to understand, to believe, and to live in the light of your truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple weeks ago at youth group, I lead one of the small groups that it's the group of the high school boys, and I had a message before the small group about God, and when we got in the small group, I asked the guys, I was like, so what do guys your age think about God? You know, like people at your school, guys at your school, teenage guys, what do they think about God? And one of the young men, it was really interesting, he said to me, oh, they don't. They don't think about God. And I was like, oh, they don't. What are they thinking about then? And he said, influencers, online influencers. That's where their head is. They're just being influenced all the time. And he described, and the other guys were describing, some of the influencers that teenage boys are into these days. Some of it's fine, you know. Some of it's neither good nor bad. Some of it's a big waste of time, I got to tell you. And some of it's like super damaging, or it could be dangerous. I mean, they described like one influencer that they said a lot of the guys in their school are into. And the point of this guy's influence is, let me tell you how to get girls to do what you want. You know, let me tell you how to put girls in their place and get them to, you know, serve you or, you know, do what you want. And it was like, it's dangerous, you know. So we live in these interesting times. We live in this information age, the age of the internet, the age of new media. And it can be difficult to navigate all these voices that we're hearing all the time, right? And we need wisdom to be able to navigate this. The book of Proverbs doesn't give us specific tools for navigating the digital ecosystem. I mean, this is like 1,000 years before Jesus, you know. But it's all about wisdom. And if we can receive these words of wisdom, then we're going to have the right foundation for handling all the voices that we hear all the time right now. So if you'd open up to Proverbs 9, let me read it. And before I read it, let me explain a little bit of the structure of Proverbs 9. So it's like if you could break it into three parts. The first part, it's wisdom personified, okay? Pretend that wisdom is a person, a lady, and she's calling out to you. She's inviting you to have dinner in her house, okay? That's the first part. The last section, imagine that foolishness is personified. You know, imagine that folly or foolishness is a lady, and she's saying, come have dinner at my house, okay? So the first part is wisdom calling out. The last section is folly calling out to you, inviting you to her house. And in the middle, there are some proverbs that give a contrast between wisdom and folly. Okay, help us know, you know, who goes into the house of that wisdom is, of wisdom? Who walks on the path of foolishness? What is the result of following wisdom's path? What's the result of following foolishness's path? What does it look like to walk wisely? What does it look like to not? You know, so that's the middle section is this contrast. So now that you see what the structure is, let me read it to you. Wisdom has built her house. She has carved out her seven pillars. She has prepared her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her female servants. She calls out from the highest points of the city, "Whoever is inexperienced, enter here." To the one who lacks sense, she says, "Come, eat my bread and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave inexperience behind, and you will live. Pursue the way of understanding. The one who corrects a mocker will bring abuse on himself. The one who rebukes the wicked will get hurt. Don't rebuke a mocker, or he will hate you. Rebuke the wise, and he will love you. Instruct the wise, and he will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and he will learn more. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise for your own benefit. If you mock, you alone will bear the consequences. Folly is a rowdy woman. She is gullible and knows nothing. She sits by the doorway of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight ahead on their paths. "Whoever is inexperienced, enter here." To the one who lacks sense, she says, "Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten secretly is tasty." But he doesn't know that the departed spirits are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. Sheol is the place of the dead. Okay, this is God's word. Everyone wants to have a good life. And there are lots of voices in our brains right now and coming at us through all kinds of devices and people talking to us. There are a lot of voices who are trying to define the good life for us. And they're trying to tell us how to get the good life. And if you think about like just the different influencers out there, they fit in all these different categories. There's so many different ones, right? Like people that tell you how to be successful in your career, people that tell you how to be healthy. And it's really funny, like the algorithm knows what you want and gives you more of it. You know, I click on a couple stories, not on social media, just on my like news feed, you know, about like the news of the world. And for some reason, part of the news of the world is like an option for me was how to exercise with dumbbells, you know? So you click on a couple of those stories, and then it looks like the only thing that's happening in the world is dumbbell workouts, you know? It's like it gives you more and more. All right, so some of it's about health. Some of it's about, how to make money, how to have a comfortable home, how to have an exciting life, travel influencers, right? How to find love, how to be beautiful, how to organize your family, how to gain political power, how to go off grid, how to be connected to people. You know, choose your which one you want. Do you want to be connected or do you want to be disconnected? There's an influencer for you, okay? Different lifestyle choices. You know, I could go on and on. And even if you don't use social media, it's also on the TV. It's also on the radio. It's on with your conversations with people. You know, people are telling you how they're trying to tell you what the best kind of life is and how to get it. And a lot of times they're influenced and they're trying to influence you by their influencers. You know, they're like, has anybody ever said to you, "Hey, I want you to watch this video. Hey, I want you to read this article. I want you to listen to this podcast." You know, like there's like it's always coming at you, even if you're Dennis Jaworski and you've never opened social media in your whole life. Okay, it's coming at you all the time. So, how do you sort through the noise? Proverbs 9 paints our options in really stark terms, and it puts everything coming at you in just two categories. Just two categories. There's the way of wisdom. That's the first six verses. And then there's the way of foolishness or folly. And that's the last six verses. Okay, the way of wisdom versus the way of foolishness. And they're both calling out to you. Look at verse 4. Here's what wisdom says to you. Whoever is inexperienced, enter here. You want to find the good life? Come into my house. And look at verse 16. Here's what folly is saying to you, foolishness. Foolishness is also calling out. Listen to what she says. Whoever is inexperienced, enter here. She says the same thing. So there's two invitations, either to go into the house of wisdom or go into the house of folly. Okay? They're both calling out. And if you look at verse 10, this will help us sort out the way of wisdom versus the way of folly. Look at verse 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So the way of wisdom is God's way. Okay? And any path that's not God's way is foolishness. And you might be saying to me right now, Pastor, are you saying that I can't learn something from somebody who's not a Christian? Can't I learn from people who aren't Christians? And of course you can. I'm not saying that at all. All truth is God's truth. You can learn true information from a lot of different sources. But what I'm talking about is what you do with the information. You can either have understanding and walk along the path of wisdom where you understand God's truth and you apply it to your life in practical ways and you make good decisions that honor the Lord and that are a blessing to people and yourself. Or you can fail to understand God's truth or fail to respond to God's truth properly. That's the path of foolishness. You don't respond properly to truth and you make bad decisions. So let's look at this contrast between the what wisdom's invitation and the folly's invitation. So wisdom's invitation is in the first six verses. Wisdom is depicted as a great hostess who has this big house. She built this house with seven columns on it. So that takes some forethought. It takes some planning, some resources, some dedication. And she's prepared this lavish feast. She's, you know, slaughtered animals to have meat and roasted this meat. She's got the grill going, you know. She's mixed her wine. You know, she's a lady with a vineyard, and that takes time, and it takes time to prepare this wonderful feast, okay? She takes the time, she makes the effort, and then she's generous, and she invites people to come. And who does she invite? Anybody who wants to come. She sends out her servants to the ordinary people in the street, to you and me, to people who aren't rich, and says, hey, come and eat at my house. Let me invite you to my house. And so she sends out her servants to the ordinary people. People who want to gain wisdom can go into her house and receive it. They can eat this delicious feast. And the result, look at verse 6, she says, leave it inexperienced behind and you will live. Okay? You will live. So the result of going into wisdom's house and eating her lavish meal is you have life. And then foolishness is the opposite. And that starts in verse 13. She's not this prepared hostess. It's almost like she's depicted as a woman of ill repute. She's sitting down in the doorway of her house, and as people walk by, you know, to the inexperienced lads, she's calling out to them. She says, come into my house, okay? She invites you to taste what is forbidden. Do you see that in verse 17? Stolen water is sweet. Let me give you secret knowledge. And then she said, bread eaten secretly is tasty. Let me give you secret knowledge. Let me give you stolen delights, you know? That's where it's at. Let's find out stuff that nobody else knows, and you can get ahead, and then your life will be even better than it should be because you're with me. Okay, she's sort of like the snake in the Garden of Eden. Did God really say, if you eat this, you'll be like God? You know, and then the result, it's like the description that sort of the narrator comes back and says, that dumb guy that's walking into her house, he doesn't realize that when he goes in there, it's just skeletons, you know? It, like, you go in there and you die. It, the result is death. If you eat her meal, you die. Now, I hope that you're listening to me describe this, and I hope that you're saying, you know, I want to choose the path of wisdom. I'd rather choose life instead of death, okay? I'd rather not walk on the way of foolishness. Is anybody hearing me say that? And is anybody saying this? Say yes, Pastor. Okay, good, good. Can I get a witness? Amen. All right, I want to walk on the path of wisdom. And so in that middle section, there's this, these contrasts between wisdom and foolishness, and it helps us to know how to get on this path of wisdom. So if you look at verse 7, let me read 7 to 9 again. The one who corrects a mocker will bring abuse on himself. The one who rebukes the wicked will get hurt. Don't rebuke a mocker or he will hate you. Rebuke the wise and he will love you. Instruct the wise and he will be wiser still. Teach the righteous and he will learn more. So the foolish person or the mocker, that's somebody who's not open to correction. And let me give you an example of a mocker, okay? This is also a youth group story. This is several years ago. The very first day of youth group, we brought the kids out on a scavenger hunt, and they were going to go around just around here to find different things and take pictures of them. And so I was with some kids that came into the Cumberland Farms. And as we went to the Cumberland Farms, there's a couple of guys, older guys, who had gone to the youth group years before, and they knew some of the kids that were going to youth group. And they were getting gas for their car. And as we walked by, those older guys said to the teenagers, they're like, oh, you still go there? You're still into the God thing? You still go to church? That's the mocker, okay? That's the mocker. So the foolish person, the mocker, look what it says about the mocker here. He isn't open to correction. You try to tell him, hey, you veered off the right path. You try to tell him, you're making some bad decisions here. Let's get back on track. And he won't listen. And he's likely to get mad at you and pop you in the nose. So it says, you know, if you try to correct a mocker, you could get hurt. That's why. It's because he's going to retaliate. He doesn't want to hear it. He's like, let me make my own choices. It's a free country, you know. Get out of my face, and he hits you, okay? But the wise person is humble. The wise person is open to correction. The wise person can learn from her mistakes or his mistakes. He can receive a rebuke and change and even appreciate the person who corrected, you know. Heard from a local pastor, this is not our church, another church, but another church in our area, he was telling me that in the church there were a couple of members of their congregation that were making online posts that were mean-spirited, okay? Like trying to embarrass other people. That's the point of their posts. I'm going to make this other person look bad, okay? And so a couple of the elders in their church went to these people and talked to them about it. And they're like, hey, we just want to let you know, we don't think this reflects well on your Christian testimony. And like one person responds by saying, you know, who made you the Facebook police? Get out of my face. I'm leaving this church. That's the mocker, right? The other person responds by saying, hey, you know, I didn't think about it that way. You're right. Let me fix this. Let me make this right. You know, and let me go to the person that I was trying to embarrass and make it right with them. So the mocker isn't open to correction, but the wise person is open to correction. Okay. And the same principle is sort of amplified in the Gospel of Matthew. This is Jesus speaking, Matthew 13:12. He says, for whoever has, more will be given to him, and he will have more than enough. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. So the idea is, a wise person gains even more and more wisdom. A foolish person who doesn't have wisdom loses even what he has. And in the case of Jesus speaking, he's like, if you receive the truth about me and you respond to it with faith and obedience, you're going to get even more understanding about me. You're going to know me even better. But the person who rejects me, he's going to get even farther from me. So that's the principle. Okay, so the way of wisdom is the way of humility. It's the way of humility. The way of wisdom is also the way of the Lord. Look at verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So to be wise, to have real knowledge, it begins and ends with God, with knowing Him, being in a relationship with Him, and from it's receiving from God. And we know even more than Solomon knew. You know, we know than whoever was the originator of this proverb, this chapter of Proverbs, we know more specifics about what it means to know God. We know that you notice that wisdom like invites us to partake of this feast, you know, meat, wine, and she says, come eat my bread and wine. Like we know what that bread and wine is, don't we? John chapter 6, verse 51. This is, again, Jesus' words. He says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. And then look down at verse 55 if you're in John. John 6, he says, because my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. And it sounds like the Lord's Supper, right? But he's not talking about the Lord's Supper. He's talking about what the Lord's Supper refers to, that wisdom is Jesus himself. To be wise is to know God through Christ, and the way that we know him, the way that we're connected to him, the way that we're reconciled to God and forgiven from our sins is because he gave his body and his blood for us. That's the true bread and the true wine. So true wisdom starts with the humility to receive Christ's death for you. So we know true wisdom is knowing God through Christ. So the way of wisdom is the way of humility. It's the way of the Lord. It's also the way of life. Back to Proverbs 9, verse 11. For by me, by wisdom, your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. There's this guy that's kind of gotten famous on the internet these days because he's my age. He's 46 years old, and he wants to have a body of an 18-year-old. Have you heard about this guy? And he's a gazillionaire, you know, like got rich in computers or something. I don't know what, but now he doesn't have to like work a normal job, and he can just like devote all his time to getting in shape and eating the right food and like taking measurements of everything about his body so that he can be as young as possible. He's going to make the best choices. Every day he has this very long and extensive workout, and he like measures every ounce of food that goes into his body and what kind, you know, how much protein and how much supplement of this and how much supplement of that and what extra hormones do I need to give myself shots of and all this stuff, you know. Let's do another MRI and see what that joint looks like. He's like measuring everything and it's true, you know, if you make wise choices, it could lead to a longer life. In general, it does. Making a wise choice, you avoid accidents, you avoid doing damage, and it can lead to a longer life. But we're talking here about the spiritual realm, right? That wisdom, which we said means knowing God through Christ, that leads to eternal life. And it's a quality of life that starts now and then goes on forever, even after death. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and life more abundantly. That's what we have in Christ, is eternal life, life with God. That's the path of wisdom, is the path of life. So the way of wisdom is a way of humility. It's the way of the Lord. It's the way of life. It's also the way for you. Okay? Look at, let's see, where was I? Verse 12. If you are wise, you're wise for your own benefit. If you mock, you alone will bear the consequences. So a lot of the sections of the Bible show that we shouldn't just focus on ourselves, but rather we should think of other people. This verse is a really individualistic verse. It says, if you're wise, I mean, it's true that if you're wise, you'll bless other people, and if you aren't wise, you could harm other people, but this verse isn't saying that. It's saying, if you find wisdom, you'll benefit yourself. And if you don't find wisdom, if you walk in the way of foolishness, you're going to bear the consequences of that. We can see how that works in the short term. So, for example, if you handle a conflict with somebody wisely, you can preserve a friendship. You can save a friend, and that benefits you, right? If you don't handle a conflict wisely, if you respond foolishly in that conflict, you could lose your friend. You could lose your reputation. So you face those consequences. But in an ultimate sense, in a broader sense, if you choose God and choose His way, you get God forever. This is good news. And if you don't choose Him, you don't get Him. And that's devastating, more devastating than we realize. So I want to take us just a second and talk about how we can walk in the way of wisdom and draw some things out of this passage, out of this chapter. How can we walk in the way of wisdom? And the first thing I want to tell you is to walk in the way of wisdom, we need to remember that wisdom is knowing God. True wisdom is knowing God. And that, if we know that, if that's the main frame of reference that we have, if that's the rubric by which we evaluate everything else, if that's our worldview, if that's the lens that we see everything through, that'll give us discernment as we evaluate everybody who's trying to influence us. So you can ask yourself, like when everything's coming at you and you're trying to decide, what should I pay attention to? What should I take? What should I not pay attention to? What should I leave aside? Ask yourself, is this person helping me to know God better? Is this person helping me to know God better? Or not, you know? Is that, what's the answer? Is the answer yes, he's helping me know God, or no, he's driving me away from God, or it's kind of neutral? But that's what we should ask: Am I knowing God better through this or not? Also ask yourself: does this influence on my heart help me to bear the fruit of the Spirit or not? Okay. So when I'm taking all this information in, do I grow in love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in the way I respond to the people around me, or something else, you know? Another question, is this worldview consistent with the Scripture? You know, is it God's truth or not? Is it consistent with what God has revealed in His Word or not? So when we remember that true wisdom is knowing God, that helps us to evaluate everything else that's coming at us. The second thing I want to tell you is we need to pursue instruction. Pursue instruction. If you look at wisdom's call, she says in verse 6, she says, pursue the way of understanding. Okay? And if you look back at chapter 8, which we read earlier, wisdom calls out and says, this is chapter 8, verse 10. Wisdom calls out and says, accept my instruction instead of silver and knowledge rather than pure gold. And in verse 17, she says, I love those who love me, and those who search for me find me. So we're supposed to search out wisdom. We're supposed to seek instruction and seek teaching and try to learn. It's interesting that one of the characteristics of the early church was that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So it was a learning church, and we need to be people who learn. And the kind of learning that we need, first of all, is learning from the Word of God. We need to seek instruction from God's Word, because God's Word is truth. Jesus said that. Sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is truth, He said. So seek truth in God's Word. I've told you about this book called Habits of the Heart, Habits of the Household, and that's the second one. The first one's called The Common Rule, and this guy is like trying to think about what are some habits that he can put in place in his life that help him live a life of worship. And one of his habits is scripture before phone. I'm gonna hear from God before I hear from everybody else. I'm gonna evaluate everything else through the lens of scripture instead of the other way around. I think that's a huge problem, is that when we're taking in another worldview and then evaluating the scripture through that other worldview, everything gets wacky. We got to evaluate everything else through the Word of God, okay? So let's seek out the God's Word. And the other thing I would tell you, as you pursue instruction, you should do that with other people in the church, okay? Pursue instruction with God's people. So I know I sound like I'm plugging the small groups. I am plugging the small groups. But get in a Sunday school class or come to worship on Sunday and worship God with his people and receive instruction with his people. If you pursue God's wisdom all by yourself, that's okay. But there's a danger of that if you're pursuing God all by yourself that you can kind of veer off into some wacky areas, especially with the internet. And sometimes it's not necessarily that you're getting into something that's not true, but you can misplace the emphasis because you find the one thing that you're really into and you get all into that, and then you forget that there's the whole counsel of God, the fullness of Scripture, and when you're with God's people, other people are kind of helping balance out your system of belief. Because let me think of an example. I had some in my head and I forgot to write them down. But let's say that the only thing that you're into is the end of the world. You know, how the world's going to end. Well, you also need to learn about the beginning of the world and how God created it. Now, both things are true and they're both good, but you need all of the whole counsel of God. Or what if you're all into how we have freedom to make choices? That's true. But you also need to hear about how God is sovereign and God's in control too, right? And when you're with God's people correct you and help you and keep you balanced, keep these things in tension, the full counsel of God, okay? And I will also say, though, in pursuing instruction, it might be worth it to replace some of what you're influenced by, some of the media that's influencing you, with content that helps you to know God better. And so to be really intentional about saying, these are the things that help me know God, these are the things that don't help me to know God, and I'm going to choose the one and not the other. To be real intentional about that. So, but pursuing instruction, we do that through the Word and with God's people. That's the main thing I want you to get. Do it with God's people. And the last thing I want to mention to you about how we can walk in the way of wisdom is receive wise correction with humility. So if you make a decision and it goes poorly after you make that decision and there are negative consequences of that decision, you can either learn from it or not. And so we need to have the humility to learn from the bad choices that we make. Or if somebody in your church comes to you and says, and especially if they come to you with the Word of God and they say, hey, I've noticed something in your life that's off track. Here's the Word of God that talks about that. We can either receive that with humility and with grace or not, you know. So nobody likes to be told they're wrong. I don't like it when you tell me I'm wrong, you know. I bristle at that. But the way of wisdom is the way of humility. Now, I'm not saying that everything that everybody tells you is always true. But can we be humble enough to receive correction with discernment and with humility and learn and change? Is there anybody here that's perfect? You want to raise your hand? Is there any perfect people? We all need to grow, don't we? We all need to learn. So let's be humble enough to learn from each other and learn from the Word of God. So let's walk on the way of wisdom together. Amen? Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this word, and we pray that you'd help us. Help us to grow in wisdom. Help us to be wise because you're wise. And help us to be like you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we sing the next song together.